Welcome to Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Let us prepare our hearts to worship the Lord by singing, "The Lord is in His holy temple." Worship is taken from Psalm 106, verses 47 and 48. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us arise to praise the Lord with our opening hymn, number 36, High in the Heavens, Eternal God.
High in the heavens, Eternal God, thy goodness in full glory shines, thy truth shall break through every cloud, heavens and darkens thy designs. Forever firm thy justice stands, as mountains their foundations keep, wise are the words of thy hands, thy judgments are a mighty deep. My God, our excellence thy grace, and all our hope and comfort spring, the sons of distress fly to the shadow of thy wing. Life like a fountain rich and free springs from the presence of my Lord, and in thy light my soul shall see the glories promised in thy word.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thou art the eternal God whose goodness in full glory shines. Thy truth, thy wisdom, thy justice shall stand, for nothing may veil nor darken thy designs. We thank thee for thy wonderful attributes, especially the excellency of thy grace, whence all our hope and comfort spring. It is by thy grace that we may fly to the shadow of thy wing to find peace and rest. We thank thee for the grace found in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he should leave the glories of heaven according to thy appointment and will, that he might live and die, shedding his blood to save us from our sins. Truly, O Father, we thank thee that by the atoning work of thy Son, we who were traveling along the road to destruction were rescued and placed upon the road of salvation. We thank thee that through the merits of Christ, we have been accounted righteous in thy sight, that through the union that we have with thy Son, we have been made thy children and heirs of heaven. We pray now that thou wouldst help us to praise thee in response to thy great love towards us. And as we gather here for worship, help us to speak to each other concerning thy attributes. And may we marvel together as thy congregation at thy goodness and mercy towards us. Do all these things in us for thine own honor and glory. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, who while he was on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be.
Congregation, please be seated. Our scripture text for today is taken from Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 to 23. Let us turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. I shall read the even verses. Please respond with the odd. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Thank God for the reading of his word, where we see Moses communing with the Lord. Let us now sing another hymn, number 15, How Shall I Sing That Majesty?
Sing that majesty which angels do admire. Let dust in dust and silence lie, sing, sing, ye heavenly choir. Thousands of thousands stand around thy throne, God most high, 10,000 I times death, and sound thy praise not to abide. Thy brightness unto them appears, whilst I thy footsteps trace. The Son of God comes to my ears, but they behold thy face. They sing because thou art their Son, Lord, sent me by me. For where is but once begun, then alleluia be. Enlightened with faith's light, my heart's inflamed with love's fire. Then shall I sing and bear a part with the celestial choir. I shall I fear be dying with fire and light. Yet when thou dost accept the gold, Lord, treasure of my might. How great a being, Lord, is thine, which thou for beings keep. Thy knowledge is the only light to souls so vast and deep. Thou art a sea without a shore, a soft down as fear. My time is now and nevermore, thy place is everywhere.
Amen. Let us now turn in our order of worship to the memory verse taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read this verse in unison. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let us take some time to consider what this verse means and memorize it. Shall we try together? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Thank God for this wonderful verse, that God should shine His light in the face of Christ. Let us now prepare our tithe and offering. The offertory hymn is number 184, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, clap for me, let me hold myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy word that sigh which flowed, be of sin the double cure, save from roof and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my sin no languor know, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone, in my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, hear me only on thy throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Let us arise for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host, whose Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Rock of Ages, who has cleft and shielded us. For none of us shall be able to stand in Thy presence except we be sheltered by the precious blood of Thy Son. We thank Thee that we have been saved from the wrath to come and have been made pure, sanctified through Thy Son. Even if our tears forever flow and our zeal no languor know, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and Thou alone. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and our mourning for sin will not help us, except Thy Son had clothed us in His righteousness. Thus we will not bring any prize in our hands, as though we could merit our own salvation, but will cling to the cross of Thy Son alone for our redemption. So that even when we draw our final breath, when our eyes shall close in death, when we rise to worlds unknown and behold Thee on Thy judgment throne, we know that we shall not be condemned, for Thy Son, the Rock of Ages, has hidden us in the cleft of the rock, that we may boldly stand before Thy presence because of His righteousness. We thus present our tithes and offerings. in grateful thanks for giving unto us thy Son. Would thou give direction to how these funds may be used, that more who are still in darkness may find their refuge in the cleft of the rock, and we, thy saints, may grow more and more each day in adoration of the Rock of Ages. Would thou now quieten our hearts as we shall hear thy word being preached by pastor? Would thou give him strength to exposit thy word to us, and fill him and us with thy Spirit, that we may behold thy majesty and thy glory? This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message, "Behold a Place by Me," is 349, "Surely Goodness and Mercy."
Wandering in the cold night of sin, I did roam. When Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guides me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell forever, and I shall feast the tables for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life.
Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts as Pastor will lead us in the pastoral prayer and present the message, "Behold a Place by Me."
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that Thy church may be gathered once again into Thy house to worship Thee. We thank Thee that we can meet with Thee. And this meeting, this fellowship, this communion that Thou givest us with Thee is indeed a foretaste of that heavenly communion that we would have with Thee. O Lord, as we come before Thee in holy worship, Thou indeed prepare us so that we may be able to find comfort and find peace and joy in our worship of Thee. Sanctify us, Lord, with Thy truth. Sanctify us with Thy word. Sanctify us with Thy presence as we meet with Thee. Bless this worship, especially the preaching of Thy holy word, that it may strengthen our faith, cause sinners to turn to Thee in repentance, and the saints build up. O Lord, strengthen us. And at this time, we commit to Thee this land of Singapore. May Thou be gracious to protect Thy people from harm and danger, from pestilence, from terrorism, from haze, from all spiritual darkness in high places. Lord, strengthen Thy people and bless us with Thy presence to comfort and to cheer. Father in heaven, we pray for those who are not well in the body. We ask that Thou would be gracious to heal them, to strengthen them. We pray for our brother Stephen in hospital, that Thou would bless him with Thy comfort, Thy presence, and understanding and of Thee in worship and in praise. Father, we commit to Thee also the wife, dear sister Catherine. Thou be gracious to strengthen her as she visits him weekly. Be with Karen Yap also, that Thou would be gracious to strengthen her bodily, heal her, and grant to her Thy joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit to Thee, Madam Chua, that Thou would be gracious to heal her of the glaucoma in the eye condition, that Thou would be gracious to grant to her healing and Thy presence and the peace that Thou would give her in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help her to turn to Thee, to follow Thee, and to serve Thee. Father in heaven, we pray and commit to Thee our annual congregational meeting after this service. May Thou bless it for Thy own honor and glory. We commit to Thee also our preparation for the Good Friday, the sunrise service, those that are forthcoming. May Thou bless it as Thy people gather to remember Thy goodness in Thy triumphs over death, in Thy resurrection from the dead. Father, we pray and ask that Thou wouldst also guide us to the venue, the place for the 2013 a church camp in June from the 14th to the 17th. May thou make smooth pathway as we wait upon thee. May thou be gracious to guide us, that thy good will be done for thy own honor and glory. Father, we ask that thou would now bless the preaching of thy holy word. Strengthen us and grant to us understanding, and grant to us thy grace to obey and follow thee. This I pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A Place by Thee is the title of our message, taken from Exodus chapter 33 and verses 18 to 23. One of the most infamous free thinkers of England was a man by the name of Anthony Collins. He died in the year 1729. He was the author of a well-known book called Discourse on Free Thinking. This man, Colin, one day met a poor working man on his way to church. And he asked to this man, "Where are you going?" So this man said, "To church, sir." "Is your God a great God or a little God?" he began to ask in an attempt to confuse the mind of this poor man. But the churchgoer gave him a most perfect answer. He said, "He's so great, sir, that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, and so little that he can dwell in my heart." Collins later admitted that this simple but sublime answer of an uneducated man had more impact, more effect upon him and his mind than all the many arguments that he hears concerning God. Dear friends, our relationship with God is a supernatural one. He comes and meets with us. He imparts life to us. And that life that He imparts to us is that relationship that we have with the living and true God. And so that poor man understood how great God is. How did he understand? Well, he must have experienced God in his life. He must have sought the Lord in the various things that happened in his life, and how the Lord answered him, how the Lord helped him. He had that precious communion with God. Indeed, so great and so glorious is our God, and so marvelous is His condescension to reach unworthy, sinful men. So we have a dear brother in Christ who said, "You know, my mother brought us to church, but she went alone to church. And she went into the church, and she worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. And she taught us how to worship. And my mother had no education. She cannot read. But she could read the Bible. She could understand the Bible. She could give us counsel from the Word of God." How wonderful, isn't it, for a mother who may not have all the education of this world, but have the wisdom from on high to guide her. And that's enough, isn't it? So he was so happy that he received salvation as a result of the testimony of mother. He said, I cannot believe how she's able to read the Bible, and she would read it in her native dialect, and she would read it out. How wonderful it is. The Spirit of God in us to teach and to guide us. We thank God that we can know Him because He condescended to reach to us, unworthy, sinful men. How can we behold God? Have you ever wondered, how do you see God? Well, we see God at the foot of the cross. When we realize our sinful estate, when we realize that we have no wisdom to order our own lives, somehow life just cannot, it's not wholesome, cannot click together. And the wisdom that I think I can find seems so inadequate. When we come to that realization, as a penitent sinner, and we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, His torn crown, suffering, dying for us, we see in Him a beauty that strengthens our heart, that ravages our soul. And so our memory verse in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. You know, when you're in a dark room, you can't see anything. When we have not light to guide us. But when light comes into that room, suddenly, well, you could see what's inside. This is the presence of God coming into the heart of men to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And how can we see God? We can't see Him because He's a spirit. And we see Him in the person of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you turn to the Bible and we would read from it and we'd hear the preaching from it, and you realize that, hey, we learn wisdom. We find salvation for our souls. How wonderful it is to see God, to behold His glory. It changes our life. We lived on higher ground. Moses sought to see the glory of God when he asked to the Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Let me see you. It was 1,500 years later that he beheld his Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Would you turn there with me to verse 1 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17? After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart. And there he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. When Christ came, he came humbly as a man to be born in a manger. Very obscure, and yet the very Son of God. His glory was taken away from him. Or in the sense that he has put aside his glory in order that he would come as a man. And that's the greatest wisdom of God, you see. That was how man could be saved. It was a blind spot that wicked man, evil in this world, could not see, could not fathom the wisdom of God, that he would send his Son, and that the solution to defeat Satan and darkness was the cross. That the Son of Man would be crucified upon the cross. That his blood would be shed to wash away our sins. That kind of a wisdom defeated Satan. Jesus was riding on a donkey when he entered Jerusalem. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the people could not see. The people could not understand. But the Word of God foretold of his coming, so that his glory would be veiled, so that the enemy would not see and could not thwart. In fact, went along to fulfill the plan of redemption. That's a blind spot, dear friends. If we would see with the mind of the world, plagued by Satan and his minions, then our mind, the unsanctified mind, is indeed very blind, very much deceived. And so Christ, in an opportune moment, displayed and showed to his disciples. Who are the disciples? Peter, James, and John. They were nobody in society, but God chose them because this would be the man whom God can use, emptied of themselves. And the Lord brought him to the mount, and the Lord was transfigured. The Lord showed his glory to them, for them to behold the truth, the power, the great glory, the creator of the entire universe, the sustainer of all things, displaying, demonstrating his glory to us. And there, our text says in verse 4, was Moses and Elijah talking with him. Moses and Elijah. Verse 3 says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. And then in verse 5 it says, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Father testified directly from heaven to help us to see that this is the Son of God. Dear friends, we live in a very deceptive world. And unless the Spirit of God would come and illumine us, we would be deceived. We would love the world. We would despise the church. We would despise the Word of God. We would despise the preaching of the Word of God. This is who we are, the carnal man. And the carnal man just cannot do any good, cannot serve any good. And it's so sad, isn't it? But God did not leave us without testimony. There are a remnant that He has for Himself. And this, He showed His glory. So that to this, who truly love God, they will become a testimony for Him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. They have a place to see the glory of God. And we have a place to see the glory of God too. Do you know where to see the glory of God? It's here in the Word of God. Every time we open to the Scriptures, the Spirit of God will show us His glory, true wisdom, so that we will not be deceived by the things of this world, that we would love God, that we will love His truth, that we would despise the world, that our worship of Him would be true. Three thoughts. The Lord placed Moses to see His glory. A place by Me, the Lord says. To see, firstly, His goodness. Secondly, His sovereign mercy. Thirdly, His consuming presence. Fourthly, His covering hand. The goodness of the Lord. Verse 18. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will make my goodness pass before thee. The Lord shows us His goodness. Have we seen His goodness in our lives? The Lord seeks to show us who He is, what He's capable of. And Moses in chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, was able to declare and write who the Lord is. Verse 6 of Exodus 34. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Abundant in goodness and truth. Have we understood? Have we experienced the goodness of God in our lives? And I pray that the Lord would help us to see that the goodness of Him. When our Lord came upon earth, He passed through a place in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. That day, 10 lepers experienced the goodness of God. It came to pass, verse 11 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, as He went to Jerusalem, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Just this morning, one of our sisters said, "No, I've been to a leper colony. It was just across the causeway. And I saw the people, how terrible they live. One of them has his nose decomposed, dropped off. I cannot bear to see the sight. It was terrible. He was the man, the people there were dying. They were decomposing." And she said, "Is there any cure for leprosy?" And if you were to look at the Old Testament scriptures and how the Lord spoke concerning leprosy, indeed it is a judgment, isn't it? And the Lord provided ways by which to test. But the leprous man, he has to be separated from the community because he is so contagious. So our dear sister says, you know, the guide told us that when you go there, you make sure that your body, there's no wound, because you can get infected easily. It can come on you. I said, I had the opportunity to see a leprous man. And verse 12 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him the 10 men that were lepers. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The goodness of God and the sovereign mercy of God. Verse 19 says, and he would be gracious to whom he will be gracious, to show mercy on whom he will show mercy. And the Lord came and he showed mercy upon these 10 lepers. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan is a blemished Jew, unclean in the sight of the community. You know, we were studying the book of Isaiah, and the prophet Isaiah saw how the king Uzziah, one of the greatest kings in Israel, died. God struck him with leprosy because he intruded into the throne room of God. He had that audacity, and God struck him down. He had to be separated from the people the rest of his life. He died a leper. What frightening thing is it to be struck down, to be diseased, and to be healed? This man was so happy. He was so grateful. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Were they not cleansed? Were they not helped? What happened to them? There was not found. They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Jesus says, were they not 10 cleansed? This was Israel. And God, if God were to deal with us after our hearts, an ungrateful heart, then the Lord would say, why should I cleanse such a one? Doesn't deserve. But the Lord cleansed all the other 9. You see the heart of God, the goodness of God. We don't deserve. But He reached out to us. This is who our God is. This is how He defeated the enemy. The arrogance of the enemy. He wanted to be like God. God had to struck him down. Our thankful heart is a reflection of God's glory. The Samaritan did not, he understood. He understood and he knows that he does not deserve God's goodness. Having received it, he failed not to come back to him to give thanks. How wonderful is our God! How gracious he is! How merciful he reaches out to us. The psalmist in Psalm 105. Shows the evidence of a thankful heart. Will you turn there? The evidence of a thankful heart. How do you know? How can you see that a heart is grateful toward God? If we have our hearts is soft and tender. Psalm 105, verse 1 to 5. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous work that He has done. His wonders and His judgment, and the judgment of His mouth. Praise ye the Lord. The redeemed man who has received much from the Lord. There is an effervescent spirit of thanksgiving. A very different heart. Israel had just been delivered, or has been delivered from slavery. 400 years they were slaves. God rescued them, sent 10 plagues, parted the Red Sea, brought them out by a great deliverance. Can we see? And to show us that He would be with us, to dwell with us, to commune with us. How blessed we are as the children of God in Jesus Christ, having our sins forgiven. We have a new life in Him. Alive that has that possibility of blessing many lives. Are we doing so? Have we returned to the Lord and His people? Of all that we have received from Him, do we count our blessings? We have a great God, very good God, very merciful. And when we behold His glory, when we see Him as He is, do we worship Him as we ought to? Do we serve Him as we ought to? Do we give Him the glory as we ought to? Are we like the Samaritan man, the Samaritan leper, who came back to give glory to God? I remember there was one who came and worshipped the Lord. He said, for 5 years, 5 years, I had to repay my debt. 5 years. And he drives a taxi 7 days a week. 5 years to repay a debt. And he was able to do so after 5 years. Repaid his debt. So grateful. Coming into the sanctuary. Giving thanks to God. He said, this is my offering to the Lord. He has delivered me. I am now free from my debt. Thank the Lord for delivering me, enabling me over the last 5 years. So he worked day and night. I was so grateful. But for the people of God, they sinned in open idolatry. Instead of worshipping Him, they built a golden calf. And they go about their wanton reverie. How sad it is. We think that we deserve, and we abuse what God gives to us. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? We cannot understand and properly show forth what we ought to do as a child of God who has received much from the Lord. We take for granted. This was Israel. God is good to forgive them, to have His presence to go with them to the promised land, and His rest to accompany them so that their fears would be allayed. The person of God, how good is He to lead them, to show them the way, to guide them. You know, when we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Word of God is here, is there to guide us. And the Lord places us in a place where we could be gathered into His church, into a place of instruction. Do we take these graces seriously? Or do we flippantly overlook? Well, that's who we are in our own fallenness. But the Lord will not have us to live that way. And so He provides us examples to prick our hearts. And one of these is what we have given of the 10 lepers to show the human heart how ungrateful the human heart is. And if you are the Father in heaven and you face these things, would you be very grieved in your heart? I'm sure you'll be very grieved in your heart. Would you want to, in your own lives, face such incursions upon yourself? You don't like it, isn't it? You don't like to see these things, to attend the same griefs in your own lives. When you see yourself rejected. And so we ask ourselves, then why do we behave that way? Because when it comes upon us, we say we deserve it. Because we have not acted as we ought. We have not loved as we ought. We have not served as we ought. We have not lived as we ought. The mercy of God. He came upon His people. Verse 19 says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and to show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Because mercy is the wonderful provision of God to meet the desperate need of a people who failed to respond to His grace. We need mercy. Because we failed to provide a right response. Jesus didn't struck the 9 who were healed. he didn't put the leprosy back to the 9. He let them go. But He has a lesson. So that we would see the hardness of the human heart, having received, we cannot feel that goodness that has come upon us. And the Lord wants us to feel it. And to respond rightly to it. And even when we don't respond rightly, God is merciful. God did not strike them all dead. Verse 20. His consuming presence. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Indeed, God's presence was seen from afar by the people amidst the thunderings and the lightnings. Exodus 20 and verse 18. And the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of a trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and they stood afar off. They saw the lightning. They saw the thunderings. Frightening. This is God. They also experience His goodness. Moses was so nigh to God. And God explained His infinite greatness that man cannot stand to behold. Can we see? That is why that poor man says, My God is so great that the world cannot contain it. The universe cannot contain it. But He's so little that He can dwell in my heart. I have Him with me. He's so great, so powerful, and yet I have Him with me. Whoa. He understood something, isn't it? May we understand too what we are talking about. What is eternal life? What is hellfire? There was a man who was drug pusher, and he was saved at the peak, at the height of his career. He distributed, right, from one place, the drugs to a large amount of number of countries and places. So his life was a very different life. But he had one problem. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep. And there were many pastors and preachers who went to talk to him. There was one particular one who came and talked to him, to preach to him, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart. And one day he received the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day he received the Lord Jesus Christ, he slept like a baby. You see, our life is such that in the sinfulness of our disposition, we have no peace in our hearts. No peace. But it's only when God comes to us and He brings His peace to us that we have this restfulness in our heart that God gives, that God imparts to us. And Moses saw it. He see here that God is indeed a consuming fire in His sight. No man can see my face and live. This is who God is. Amidst thundering and lightning, you can be struck dead, just like that. But man is so arrogant, isn't it? So there was one man who wants to challenge God. You know what he did? He took a clock and he let it tick. And he said, 5 minutes, God, if you are really God, then you struck me dead. I give you 5 minutes. So in the midst of the audience, he had a clock ticking, tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. And after 5 minutes, he was still there. And he says, you see, he had a power, no power to strike me dead. That man was greatly deceived. Greatly deceived. We have a merciful God. If He wants to strike us dead, would have been struck many times over. But He did not. His mercy is everlasting. That is why you see in the Psalms, the psalmist would write concerning Israel, His mercy endureth forever. When we spurn the grace of God and God did not deal with us after our sins, time and time again, we receive the mercy of God. His consuming presence. He could have consumed us. This is what he said to Moses. Let me destroy all of them, and I will make for you a new nation. Isn't it so easy? The Almighty God. We are as an ant in the sight of God. He could have done this, but he didn't. He's merciful. And if you understand his character, his goodness, his love, that is why he sent his only begotten Son to reach out to us. So that we, proud men and women, can be brought to light, to have an opportunity to meet with God. Turn with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 12. And we shall close shortly. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 12. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the greatness of God's love. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because if without Jesus Christ, we would die eternally, damned eternally, burned eternally, suffer eternally. And in order to reach us, he had to humble himself. Because we would not see, we would not receive, knowing who we are. His consuming presence. And the Lord said, behold, verse 21, there is a place by me, and thou stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory pass by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. The cleft of the rock. What is the cleft of the rock? Well, that was a place where he was protected from the presence of God, the wrath of God. You know, if you go to the Holy Land, recall up on a stoned hill of Masada, that was the place where the last Jews held as a stronghold before they were overrun by the Roman army. The Roman army built a way up, all the way to reach them. And in order to go up, you would see it's a stone edifice of a mountain. And right at the site there, in the rock was a concave. It was bright sunlight. But when you were able to move into the cleft of the rock, you are protected from the blaze of the sun. This is what Moses was speaking about. The cleft of the rock. A place of protection. A place where you can behold the glory of God and yet not get consumed. To dwell in the presence of God and to behold His glory. To behold His goodness and yet not get consumed. The Lord said to Moses, I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. God provided a humble location upon a rock, at the cleft of the rock, where Moses could behold the glory of God without being consumed. Indeed, we know not what glory it will be in eternity, but we stand when we will stand before the King. Our closing hymn, number 30, the hymn written by Robert Murray McChain, gives to us that picture which we shall sing shortly. He says, when this passing world is done, when has sunk the yon glorious sun, when we stand with Christ on high, looking over life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. What God has done for us, we cannot see, but we are to behold it with the eyes of faith. One day, we will see it. And the Lord wants us to be there, prepared. Robert Murray McChain wrote this wonderful hymn to encourage us to take hold of the life that God given us, that God has given us, to behold His goodness. A heart of thanksgiving towards God. And I pray that the Lord would help us to see what great privilege that He gave us. Last year, for 13 weeks, our pulpit was down there. Harrowing time, 13 weeks. And at the end of it, we had a Thanksgiving service on the 29th of May to thank the Lord for seeing us through. How the great darkness was upon us and how the Lord delivered us. This year we would remember on the 28th of May once again in a Thanksgiving service for what God had done for us to bless us. And I pray that you'd be here to rejoice with us, to remember the Lord's goodness when we were, as it were, in the cleft of the rock. God shielded us, God protected us, and God blessed us with His presence. May the Lord help us to see His goodness, His grace, and may we respond truly as that Samaritan leper who understood what great deed the Lord had done for him, and he responded to give glory to God. May we do so as well. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by thy mercy, and bless thy word to our souls. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Number 30 is our closing hymn, When This Passing World Is Done. Number 30, When This Passing World Is Done. Please arise.
When this passing world is done, when has sung yon glorious sun, when we stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. In honor there's true a glass, darkly let thy glory pass, make forgiveness feel so sweet, make thy spirit's help so meet. In honor, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious, the Lord, be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen.
The service is now over.